Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. A warm welcome to the show. Bill Arnold here. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Whether it was on purpose or by accident, either way, I'll take it. We've got Todd Mullican in studio for the whole hour. So three words, free relationship advice. We're going to talk about safeguarding your marriage. And you can go to Todd, TODDMULLIKEN.com, ToddMullican.com. That's where his website is. See a picture of his good-looking face. And we're going to talk about how to safeguard your marriage, how to safeguard your relationships. There are some very, very practical things that you can do and focus on. And maybe there's a couple of things you've overlooked that might be good to be informed about so you can have the discussion between you two. I mean, even things like coming up with expectations as a couple and then keeping those expectations really clear. Like, where do you stand on social media use? You know, can you text? Can you send messages? What are the rules? What are the expectations? I mean, it's probably good to know that kind of thing. We're going to talk to Todd, and we're going to open up the phone lines at 877-933-2484. If you have something you'd like to share, a tip that's really worked well for you safeguarding your marriage. I know, of course, the old Mike Pence rule, never be alone with a member of the opposite sex. That's kind of a given, but we're going to have a lot to talk about today. You can also text a question to the same number, 877-933-2484. Or if you're happier emailing, you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, with your question, and I'll ask Todd. I'll ask Todd for you. You can keep it anonymous. You don't have to say anything. You don't know me, I don't know you. We'll take care of it. All right? We'll get the questions out there, and we'll get Todd on board in just a minute. It's 6 minutes after the hour. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. Many moms today are dealing with incredible pressure. Here's some encouragement from author and speaker Sherry Surrett.
Don't do mom alone. Whether you are a stay-at-home mom or whether you're a mom who does work outside the home as well, your job as a mom is incredibly important, and you need to connect with other moms, with other reasonable voices who understand you and who can kind of help you come back down to reality about really what does it mean to be a good mom. There is no perfect to achieve. There is no such thing as the perfect mom. You need to be who God called you to be, and you need to be you as a mom, and you need to take time to realize, who am I and what is it that I do best? And you lean into that. And you really do need to get your eyes off of other moms and stop the comparing.
More from Sherry Surratt can be heard at myfaithradio.com.
It is 7 minutes after the hour. Thank you for listening. Bill Arnold in studio with Todd Mullican from toddmullican.com. Or Mullican Counseling in Edina. We're going to talk about safeguarding your marriage, your relationship today. And I was interested, Todd just pulled into the studio and I said, what keeps you busy in the summer? And he said, high school reunions, because people go to their high school reunion 30 or 40 years later and go, oh, I never told you how much I cared for you. And that can be the start of problems. So let's jump into that. Hello, Todd.
Good afternoon, Bill.
Yeah, that's interesting because you say that props up a lot in summertime.
Sadly, it is one of the more common ways that affairs get started is through, you know, the high school reunion thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Whether it's a 5 or a 50 year, you know, it's, you know, people come at their best and they tend to, you know, want to reconnect, and next thing you know, they're crossing boundaries. And
they're saying things that they probably wanted to say when they were 17, but they couldn't.
Yes.
And now it's not appropriate to say when you're 47 or 57.
Right. But it lands well with the other person, and if they're vulnerable, then we're off to the races, unfortunately. So it is something to be aware of going into those things, enjoying the experience, but being really aware of that.
So would a safeguarding technique to be, honey, I know you're going to hate to do this, but come with me to the high school reunion?
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that's probably
absolutely
a way to safeguard, isn't it?
Sure. And, you know, again, you don't want to play not to lose, so you're always overprotecting. But in the spirit of building a hedge around your marriage, you do want to.
What did you mean by playing not to lose?
Well, just kind of, we don't want to, if we make a mistake, we're in trouble. Or what if, kind of going into the house of fear and making all our decisions on the what ifs versus what is. Maybe what's the truth for you as a couple? Are you for the idea of going to the reunion together? Are you for connecting during the evening? Just, are you for the idea, hey, I'm going there to spend time with five guys I haven't seen for a while? And if there is, you know, another group of people, but, you know, you just have professional boundaries there.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? You're not going from professional to personal.
Yeah. Todd, when couples come into your office for counseling, do they have a history of setting expectations for where they stand on things? Like, where do you stand on social media use, or where do you stand on being alone with the opposite gender, or texting, or work situations? Have they established that, or do they sort of wander into the office with problems resulting from not setting expectations and boundaries?
Yeah, most of the time things evolve over time, you know, because the good news and bad news about the pre-marriage experience, it's usually, you know, full of la-la land. You know, we're so for each other. And so they come in. A lot of times they get gifts where they got a gift from their parents to do some pre-marriage counseling for 4 sessions. And so,
nice.
And they're in la-la land and everybody's wonderful, and which is just neat to see, too. You know, it is a beautiful thing to kind of that courtship model and, you know, just shining in the Lord. And it's like, wow, they're just going to get after it.
Yeah.
Usually that type
then,
of... Go ahead.
What does Mr. Wet Blanket say?
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So unfortunately, we're not doing a lot of expectation setting. And so usually hurt people hurt people. So once we've been hurt by something, then we're hurt. And now we're starting to hurt each other with gotcha and look what you're not. And we versus, hey, what are we both for with expectations around social media? What are we both for in our discussions politically?
It.
You know, how do we... How do we listen to understand each other versus trying to say gotcha?
Todd, is this a way to safeguard your marriage? Make your spouse, spoil your spouse, not your kids?
Mm. Yeah, I think some of that's lost these days in the spirit of self-protection and being careful to not give too much because you're going to give too much and any other person can take advantage of you. So, again, what is the truth about your story together? And, yeah, when we can get busy doing Ephesians 5:21, I think it is, you know, mutually serve one another out of reverence for Christ, that's oftentimes when couples get at their best. Now, if they're recovering from something, you know, that's a different story to get there. But, yeah, it's a wonderful thing to, if I leave here and I think about the 3 things I love about my wife, by the time I meet her and 2 of my daughters at 5:45, I'm going to have a good evening. If I think about the 2 things that really bother me about her, I'm probably not going to have a good night.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at some level, we want to have God's eyes for each other, which doesn't mean we ignore tough conversations. But, yeah, I want to know what brings out her best. I want to come towards her versus turn away from her.
I love it. All right. And I don't know if I like this expression of quality time, but just to be intentional about having time together. I mean, we all have a deep need to be loved and wanted and cared for, and that doesn't usually happen accidentally, does it?
Yeah. I mean, most of us at our work situations, Bill, are trying to solve problems. So we get into our marriage, and if we don't have a problem, we're good. So we just kind of unintentionally take advantage of, you know, we just take things for granted, if you will. So then we settle into a transactional story where we're not as much on our toes, where we want to just have, you know, one of the 5 things I talk about is daily sharing and, you know, have a high and low, talk about each other's emotions, pray it up, and we're going to get after that because we can't wait to see each other. You know, we want to bring our best to those things, but a lot of times what happens for the majority of us is, you know, things seem to be okay, so especially as a guy, speaking from a guy's perspective, she seems good, so I'm good. Oh, yeah, we're good. good, you know, and so we get into that pattern, and then I think it puts the woman in a dilemma a lot of times of, geez, you know, how do I talk about my feelings and really express what I need here and I'm going to come off like there's always something wrong, and then he's going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So as a guy, I need to make sure I'm coming towards and looking for that quality time.
Yeah.
And for the woman to do the same.
Rebecca, you want to jump in?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
I've got no wisdom, only questions.
Yeah, I know you do. So let's get a woman asking Todd.
Sure. Well, and this is a really important time, I think, for me, just as we're starting out in marriage, that we put some of the safeguards in place. Maybe I'm unaware of what some of those pitfalls might be. And I think one of them that's kind of in the back of my mind has to do with expectation and comparison, because that seems like it would be a difficult thing, whether you're comparing to past relationships or bad experiences from parents, family of origin, any of that. If that starts cropping up in the marriage, maybe before you even realize it, are there ways that you can kind of safeguard your relationship from comparison and maybe some of the expectations that come along with that?
Yeah, three P's I talk about, with whether pre-marriage, early marriage, or 50 years in: understand your past, understand your patterns, understand each other's personality. And that doesn't make it all set, but the best couples are mutually vulnerable, you know, about, hey, you know, I was noticing that when you kind of raise your voice, it brought me back early in my story, and I'm kind of taking that out on you. So I talk about let each other in to what we're experiencing versus taking things out on each other. That makes sense. So that's one thing, is if both people can be mutually vulnerable about, hey, here's stuff from my past, not because we're looking for more problems, but geez, I'm triggered by my spouse when they raise their voice just a little bit because they're hurt or something, and I shut down, or I just overreact because my family system had so much chaos I didn't know my own feelings. So a way to safeguard that is know that, how do we create a safe place as a couple to have our disagreements and know we're still for each other? But yeah, it's difficult. So one of the safeguards is knowing our own past, knowing the patterns, like you said so well, Rebecca, that we bring into the story.
Good answer.
It is a good answer. Todd, I want to go to break here, so let me just go to break. If you have a question for Todd, 877-933-2484. We're trying to figure out the best way to safeguard our relationships, our marriages. And if you want to jump in with a question, or you have a particular trick or tip that's really worked well for you, safeguarding, we'd like to hear from you as well. That number is 877-933-2484. You can also text to that same number, or else you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in just a minute. It is 18 minutes after the hour. So glad you joined me today. If you are reluctant to call because you don't want your voice or your name on the air, we get that. If you have a difficult question regarding a relationship and you just really want to be anonymous, you can just text the question. We won't say your name or anything. We'll just ask the question. 877-933-2484 is the number. Of course, you can email me as well, bill@myfaithradio.com. So Todd Mullican is my guest in studio from Mullican Counseling in Edina. Also, ToddMullican.com is the way to Google him. Todd, if we are going to be intentional in the relationship and we're going to try to do our very best to safeguard our relationship, our marriage, is it important to have kind of a dream-type relationship? Now, this is maybe the wrong word, but you do a fair amount of things. You've agreed on a fair amount of things. There are some habits you have which just lend itself well to having a good relationship. You have a date night on every week. You go to bed at around the same time. Maybe you exercise together. Maybe you eat together. You know, is that all helpful?
Yeah, until they say, oh, you're home already. No, just kidding. No, it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah.
You're so right, Bill, because usually it's the opposite. Usually, you know, in one of my books, it talks about three tiers of time. And so, and I talk about marriage time. How do we lean into that in Christ together? So how are we doing with daily sharing, weekly planning, regular dates, time to be intimate, time to pray it up. You know, how are we for all those things? And really being, I loved your word, intentional about that. You know, not keeping score, saying, well, you haven't initiated this, you know, in the last 25 years, so I'm not going to now. You know, just instead of keeping score, let's come towards each other with those things. So I don't think you can ever have enough of that, because the more we do that, usually those are what I call the buoys in marriage that help the safeguarding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly what you're talking about, Bill. Those are really healthy things, because otherwise in marriage, if we're not careful, we are a little more vulnerable to see more of the worst of each other than the best of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hurt gets a little noisier, and then we're more vulnerable to cope in ways that can really make our marriage much more vulnerable.
Yeah. Is a problem that you hear in your office, Todd, that they're maybe my husband's home, but he's not home?
Yeah. So one of the... There's five P's I write about in one of my books, you know, about being present, five things a guy can work on.
Yeah.
So my home, am I really coming towards her and thinking that what we talked about last segment of that intentional daily sharing and quality time? It's, and am I listening to understand, or am I distracted with other things? And the good news about this stuff, in my opinion, is when I do that, I usually see more of the best, or when I feel my wife coming towards me with those things, we see more of the best of each other in Christ. It's who we were created to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to be intentional, because I always say there's three kinds of people in the world: people that make things happen, people that let things happen, and people that say what happened. You know,
exactly.
And if you're anything like me, I'm more vulnerable, just kind of let things happen and be on my heels more than my toes. So I really love what you're talking about, the proactive way of finding time together. Yep.
Okay, Todd, if we're going to be safeguarding the marriages, relationships, what about getting to know everybody's friends or peers or whatever? I mean, otherwise it's probably not great to be compartmentalizing your life, is it?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know my work friends, but I don't want you to know my work friends.
Yeah.
You don't have to know them.
Yeah, and it's kind of couched in the spirit of, well, we are our own individuals, so why do you have to get involved in every part of my life kind of thing? So that's the way it kind of can come off, and it's, and then I have to say, well, what's my truth? Why am I kind of unintentionally or intentionally pushing my spouse away a little bit? Here's, you know, a corner of my life that I don't want to share, so... In a perfect world, which we don't live in, we're, you know, we're an open book with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to have those friends over. We want to entertain the people from work that we know that we're close to. We want to, you know, have them over and break bread and, you know, and be, you know, those hospitable followers of Christ. And so we want to invite people into the story that we have in Christ as a couple. And it's not about overprotecting, overmanaging each other's lives. It's that, hey, you're my partner in Christ, so I want to bring you into my story.
Yeah. Todd, talk about little grudges, when people get grudges, and how do you manage those?
Boy, you know, what came to my mind is Philip Yancey wrote a book a while ago called What's So Amazing About Grace. And he says in that book, the only thing harder than forgiveness is the alternative.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if I'm grudge-holding, or my experience has been sometimes in marriage we have one person's a little more avoidant of their feelings or their thoughts, and what that person's usually vulnerable to is the resentment account building slowly. And as that's building, they're more apt to, you know, have the grudges develop, and they avoid the mess, and then they carry the mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I we're much better off having our first boundary, which is honest conversations. You know, honest conversation. You know, yesterday I was really hurt by what happened. Hon, how did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just getting it out so that I'm releasing that and not trying to put it on you. I'm just letting you in to what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
What was your take on that? You know, so we're having a dialogue. We're not saying gotcha, and we're not, you know, attacking.
Mm.
But, yeah, the general style for a lot of folks, Bill, is to passively avoid that, you know, because conflicts are of Satan, they're bad. Kingdom life isn't about having tough conversations. We're just supposed to always be happy, you know, and that's just not the truth. You know, kingdom life can be messy, and so let's stop avoiding the mess. Let's have a hard conversation, and we don't say, oh, good, we can't wait for the next one, but it beats the alternative, which is building resentment and then starting that resentment account. And that is really makes it hard to safeguard the marriage when that's going on.
Todd, what happens when you feel annoyed? I mean, that's pretty typical, isn't it?
Yeah.
You feel annoyed, and you go, what do I do with that?
Yeah. So, in the three Ps I was talking to Rebecca about, this one is personality style. So I don't think the Myers-Briggs test is the gospel or something. You know, all personality mm-hmm. tests have flaws, but it is interesting how it talks about certain kinds of personalities. And I think, you know, those of us that make decisions, you can either make decisions from a thinking perspective or a feeling perspective, or you're more of a T or an F. Mm-hmm. Thinkers are logical, practical, here's the deal. Just kind of follow my lead and we'll be fine. And feelers are going, well, if I say that, then he or she's going to do that. I want everybody to be happy. Let's have a campfire every night, sing kumbaya. Conflicts are bad. So when you have that, if I'm a thinker, I'm more vulnerable to be a flaw finder, I call it. I'm just generally flaw finding my spouse and looking at what they're not versus what they are. Mm-hmm. Now, sure, if there's adultery, addiction, abuse, let's get after that and let's do surgery on that. But for a lot of us where that isn't a story, we are more vulnerable, in my opinion, to kind of pick away from mm-hmm. our own feeling of inadequacy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just going to project my own stuff onto my spouse. I'm easily annoyed by you. Here's what bothers me about you, and here's some ideas. Like, my wife and I are both firstborn, so we have some really good ideas about how the other person can become a better Christian, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, not really a good plan.
You know? So, Todd, if you're doing flaw finding, what is that saying about the person that's doing the flaw finding? There's something under the surface there. Is part of that, I'm not happy with me, so I'm going to find flaws in you?
I think so. So if I'm more of a perfectionist, a lot of us battle perfectionism. It's in the water around here, and... Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, three really wonderful things happened today. One difficult thing happened. If I'm just in that house of fear all the time, then I'm going to project that onto my spouse. So if I'm looking continuously at what I'm not in Christ and I'm not measuring up and kind of have that shaming view, you know, of how God views me, and, you know, I guess there is condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. No, there isn't. Romans 8:1. Mm-hmm. But if I'm that kind of person, you're right, I think I'm more vulnerable to come home and tell my spouse what they're not.
Yeah. So we're just getting ready to wrap up this half hour. So I want to end on a really high note here. And I would say, Todd, that if you want to do something really, really good tonight when you get home, choose to love your spouse. Mm-hmm. If you feel annoyed, if you got a little grudge, let it go.
Oh, so good.
Why did I whisper?
I heard you.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I kind of wanted you to hear me. But I think we've been going through a lot of material so far, and hopefully this has given you some food for thought. And if you have a question about anything we've discussed, please give us a call, 877-933-2484. We would love to hear from you. You can also send us a text if you like, same number, 877-933-2484. We'll take a short break and be back with more of Todd Mullican in just a minute. That's toddmullican.com. That's his web address. And we'd love to hear from you because I'm running out of questions for Todd. So we'll be back in just a minute. Here's a comment. Second half of the hour with Todd Mullican. ToddMullican.com is his web address if you want to go check it out. We're talking about safeguarding your marriage, safeguarding your relationships, and lots of questions are pouring in. So, Todd, let me get started with a question. Here's one. My husband and I have been married for 12 wonderful years. We have started a business lately, and things are not as wonderful as before. He seems extra irritable lately and not very appreciative of all the work that I'm doing for him. Any suggestions?
Boy, that's a real common issue for folks going to family business together, mm-hmm. not because we shouldn't do that, but if we're going into it, at least my experience has been, Bill, we want to have a couple of ideas together about what we're for with this business. Let's understand the roles we each have in the business and respect the roles that we have in the business so those are clear. And let's also make sure when we have our regular date, when we have our check-ins, that it's not about our business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to, you know, leave our, you know, our caps at work, and then we got to go out and play. And so in the spirit of letting each other in, though, so if I'm experiencing irritability, I need to let, you know, my wife in this case and say, I'm feeling irritable for these reasons, and let my wife understand what I'm experiencing versus taking it out. So I think a couple proactive things would do is identify the roles in the business. Secondly, make sure they're in the play, in the sandbox more about non-work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens in family businesses is it starts to become your whole identity, you know, and it's really easy to have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the spirit of honest conversation, if I'm seeing my wife is more irritable, I need to be able to share that with them and say, gal, Anna feels like you're more irritable lately. Can we talk about it? What's your perspective on it? And try to have a safe, respectful conversation about that. So I would, you know, try to get it out in the open and rip off the band-aid a little bit and talk about it.
Love it. Denise wrote with a comment. She said, when we were first married, we were advised to make a list of the things we loved about each other, no matter how silly or minor it seemed. On the rare occasion, we had an issue, and of course she's laughing out loud at this point,
right.
And Todd is laughing out loud as well. We could each reference the list to remind ourselves that what we first loved about the other. Sometimes we lose sight of our spouse's core and our love for them.
Oh,
that's a big...
Sign that up. That
yeah.
is beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, it's so good because it's helping them go back to their championship season. You
yeah.
know, of what they were both for.
Yeah.
And so they're having a tough run, which doesn't mean we have to ignore the mess, but we also get... So we get to talk about the tough stuff, but we also get to go back and remember those things, what we're for with each other. I don't know if this makes sense. What comes to my mind is, I think it's Colossians 2, where it says, just as we were once rooted in Christ, let's stay rooted in him. So those times when you and I, when we accepted Christ, when we felt like Jesus was right here, and all of a sudden it's less tangible now, how do we get back to that kind of feeling? I think it's the same way in our... in a relationship with our mm-hmm. spouse. Yeah, that's, wow, that was great.
That was good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Denise. Next text that came in, Todd. This one's a little heartbreaking. I didn't want to get married, but believed I had no choice in the matter. It's been decades now, and she loves me, but I can't stop recurring flashes of unhappiness.
Mm.
Marriage wasn't supposed to be about making do between people with very little in common, but what else is there?
Oh, my. Mm. Well, it seems like the person who's sharing that is self-aware that they're going through a lot of unhappiness and are sad about that. So I do think one of the first boundaries I talk about is trying to have an honest conversation, not that's full of blame, and I'm not saying the person would do that, but how do I come towards and talk about just I'm feeling a lot of unhappiness. I don't know what that's about, and how can we come towards each other in certain areas that would help? Or is there something that I'm going through emotionally myself? You know, is it, in other words, am I also experiencing a lot of unhappiness in other parts of my life? Then it could be perhaps another issue, if that makes sense. It could be, you know, some mild untreated depression, so I have a negative bias towards everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or if his truth is, no, he thinks the other parts of his story are life-giving and has a pretty optimistic perspective on it, but is really just saddened by his marriage. The first step is to try to have an honest conversation about that and have a dialogue about it.
Todd, you have such a solid biblical understanding of marriage. And so maybe it would be kind of nice to review what covenantal love is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it gets a little bit damaged by what you see in the media and you see on TV and in movies. And you can drift into thinking, well, that's what a good marriage would mm-hmm. look like. But it's the covenantal love that God calls us together in that's not the stuff we see in movies.
No, you're right. And so, again, even if you look at some of the roles that we hear about in Ephesians, the good news about those roles, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is first the mutual submission to one another out of Christ, and then the male's role to love her as Christ loved the church, and the female's role of trying to respect her spouse, you know, keeps... What I've found about those that are so helpful is that, in my experience, when I'm, as a guy, just focused on my side of the street and coming towards her out of a sense of covenant and loving her as Christ loved the church, that it keeps me busy on my side of the street. Does that make sense? It helps
it
me to kind of look at how am I doing my part. And I know my spouse would say the same thing. How am I trying to look at who Todd is versus who he isn't and respect, which means not about we have a lot of disagreements. We'll have, you know, both of us feel safe to share our disagreements. But, yeah, and the other thing you read a lot about in so many verses of so many of the epistles is just, you know, what love looks like. Of course, the love passage in Corinthians. But, you know, other verses that talk about, you know, rules for holy living, you know, forgive one another as the Lord forgave you, have hospitality towards each other, you know, accept one another as Christ accepts us in order to bring praise to God, Romans 15:7. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of those things. Love, Romans 12:9 says love must be sincere. So covenantal love is about intimacy and vulnerability and openness together and what we're for with each other and having a place where we can be for each other in Christ and have hard times and disagreements, but come towards each other in that.
Mm-hmm. Another question came in, Todd. How can we make the choice to love our spouse when we don't think it's working out or don't feel like it?
So one of the great books that Gary Smalley wrote was Love is a Choice, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean we ignore the feelings, but a little bit of it is attitudinal for mm-hmm. me. You know, if my attitude towards my spouse is what I'm for with her, it's going to be more natural for me than if I have God's eyes for her. It's going to be, in my experience, less about a choice and more about how am I coming towards her, because I'm going to see more of her best as I come towards her. And so, and same for her coming towards me, how that's going to help her see more of my best. So I think it's a lot of that is attitudinally driven.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Let's talk, as we're talking about safeguarding your marriage, your relationship, feel free to call or text. I still have to get through some other questions. But what about this, Todd? I think this is a big deal. Making sure you rejoice in what you have, not what you don't have. Because, you know, the grass is greener on the other side because there's somebody else taking really good care of the grass.
Yeah. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. A lot of the sessions, it's about create your own green grass, you know, versus looking at what the other couple does have. But there's a lot behind everybody's curtain, you know, not, you know, so a lot of times it's easy to see, golly, and that's one of the other ways that affairs start, Bill, is best friends kind of thing, mm-hmm. where, golly, that couple, you know, he treats her so well, and I'm not treated like that, or she's treats him so well, and I'm not treated like that. And so that comparison game kicks in, and then we start to, instead of having that honest conversation together and saying, golly, you know, it seems like, you know, the couple we're with tonight, really things are going well, and we don't know for sure, but, hey, what's our next step versus, you know, pointing the finger and looking at what the spouse isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I love that. It was rejoicing in what we are and what we're for. I constantly say to couples, what are you for with each other?
I love that. All right, Todd, I'm going to ask you this next question, but I'm going to ask Rebecca a question before I get to you. Rebecca, in college, did you have a roommate in college?
Did I have a roommate?
Yeah.
Sure, had a few, yep.
Okay, so when you would come back from your day or from school or work, did you sit down with your roommate and just tell each other everything about your day?
Not really.
Okay. No. All right.
But we had different schedules.
You're blowing my theory here.
Sorry.
You're totally blowing my theory.
Well, there were times. Yeah. Depending. If it was a roommate I chose
and
we were friends already, then we would treat each other like friends.
Okay. Because women in particular, I think, can sit down and go over minutiae, detail, detail, detail. And so I'm just trying to figure out when you chat about your day, Todd, you know, your absorption rate could be considerably less than your wife's, right?
Yes. Yes.
What you can take in
versus
what she can take in, because she can sit down maybe and talk about minutia, and you're going, well, but generally, how was the day?
Yeah.
Was it good? Where's the meter?
Can we have a little more brevity here?
So how do we make those two work well so you're safeguarding your relationship? It's like, you never listen to me. I'm going to go out with my girlfriends tonight.
Yeah. So what is the truth about each other's personalities? For example, in my story, my wife's a strong introvert. I'm a strong extrovert. So the truth is like it may take her a second or two to process the information. The truth is she might need more downtime by herself than I need. Is she, you know, and if I don't have my act together, Bill, I'm saying, well, why doesn't she want to be with me as much? Or why is she more internal with her processing versus, here's the truth is she's wired like that. Same for her towards me. You know, I just want to chat in the morning, and extroverts and introverts wake up differently. Introverts wake up, leave me alone for 5 hours. Just kidding. But, you know, I need my space to ease into the day. Extroverts want to chat it up at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the truth is we're different. And how do we accept that difference versus trying to change each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if we came from a family system where there was a lot of trauma and a lot of drama, then we're even more hypervigilant in attacking what the other person isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So now the truth could be that I need to bring my best, and that's why whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, male or female, we need to bring our best to that time of quality time. We mm-hmm. need to have intentional, undistracted conversation. Do a high and low together. Talk about your emotions for a minute or two. And if something deep's going on, take the time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. What is the truth?
I like that, too.
For example, the truth might not. It might be that it's not really minutia, Bill. It's a really vital detail.
Right.
We're trying to go and tell each other it's important that we know exactly what color nail polish she was wearing when she ate that sandwich.
Right.
You need to know this.
Yeah.
Oh. You're getting schooled a little bit.
I am.
Wow.
She took me to school on that one.
Just differences is all I'm saying.
As I'm getting to my next point, which is keeping my cool, I've done that, I think.
You're doing very well.
It seems like it's important to keep your cool because what happens, Todd, if you don't keep your cool or you have a reputation for not keeping your cool and you come home and maybe your spouse has to give you some information, but she's not going to do it. Because she feels that if I say that, it will set him off, and I don't want to start the evening off with him already mad.
Yeah, right. So if I'm coming home, if I left my work brain home, I always tell the person who's coming home, use drive time the last 5 minutes to re-enter so you're at your best. How am I doing creating a safe place? So in this case, my wife can share exactly what's on her mind. Okay, how am I doing with creating a safe place where she can say exactly what's on her mind? I don't want her walking on glass and trying to, you know, stick her finger in the wind. What kind of mood is he in?
Mm-hmm.
That's why one of the top five P's that women need is a sense of protection.
Yeah.
And sometimes the guy needs that too.
Yeah. All right, we have time for a few more questions, whether you'd like to call or text or email. Here's how you do that. 877-933-2484. That's the number to call or to text. And, of course, the email is very simple, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll take a short break and be back more with Todd Mulliken in just a minute. It is 14 minutes until the top of the hour. If you're just climbing into your vehicle and getting ready to head home, now's a good time to start getting your mind in the right space to go home and greet your spouse. We're talking about safeguarding your marriages and relationships with Todd Mulliken. ToddMulliken.com is the place to go check him out. And he's also a psychologist and counselor here in Edina, Minnesota. So we're still taking calls and some text messages. We had one that came in. This is a tough one, Todd. I got to give you an advance warning. This is a tough one. What do you do when you found out right after you got married that your husband has had a 47-year addiction to porn? And after much counseling and celebrate recovery, he's not affectionate or sexual at all. When I forced the issue, which was uncomfortable, it left me with only being sexual around 6 times in 9 years.
So sorry.
Ouch. I'm so very sorry. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Well, it sounds like there's she's trying to be honest about what she's experiencing, and it sounds like it hasn't landed, and they're still in this place of discord about it and deep grief she's going through. So strong encouragement for her to get help, to know her boundaries and how to stay honest about her needs and what she's experiencing, and then hopefully, you know, on the other side of the street, the person who's been through recovery, celebration recovery, can understand the betrayal that she feels and the trauma that she's going through. And that takes time, you know, so that's clearly a recovery kind of situation. And betrayal trauma takes a long time to heal. And they need to be proactive in trying to address that.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time.
It does.
And so it was really... Mitsuo Nietzsche was open enough to share
brave
that.
To write. And,
absolutely.
And
we
have our compassion. Here's
absolutely.
Another one. Another listener said, my husband and I have been having problems. We agreed we should seek counseling, but nothing has been done about it. Today, I went ahead and found a counselor that I interviewed. But my husband wants nothing to do with it because it's Christian-based. How do you deal with that?
You know, I guess there's a couple ways you can go about it. You can continue that. You can go in individually and say, I'm going to go myself once and just kind of set the table and then invite my spouse to go and interview the therapist themselves. You know, I don't know if this makes sense or not, Bill, but sometimes there's Christian counseling and sometimes there's counselors that are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, maybe that not people of faith or they're not sure about things, seeing a counselor who is a Christian can might be a safer landing pad than if the person who's resistant is going, well, I'm not going to a Christian counselor. You know, sometimes it's just starting the process about trying to find the 50-yard line. So the goal would be is try to get in together somewhere and to know, like, let's try to meet there. So if somebody's resistant because the person is a Christian counselor, I always say, well, have that other person pick somebody out, and I'm open and I'm vulnerable and I'm coachable and I'm teachable. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if they have a bad experience, find somebody else. But and in a perfect world, they are each with a safe, trusted friend talking about, you know, a lot of times I get referrals from people who have referred their friends, you know, because they've heard good things. So instead of me saying, well, I'm not going to go to that person. Okay, then who would you like to go to? You know, so let's see if this other person can take the lead there, Bill.
All right, Todd, here's a very complex question, I think, and it's this. You keep talking about honest conversation, but every time trying to bring those hard conversations, it turns into an argument.
Yeah, and that is what's more common. So
yes.
Yeah, and so what we want to try to be able to do is agree together, hey, we want to create a place together where we can have hard conversations. Again, I always talk about the 5-to-1 idea, 5 affirmations for every one concern. Okay, so let's still look at what we're for and that have be our main bread and butter. But we also have to talk about what's difficult. So how do we have how do we argue well? How do we fight fair? And again, I've seen patterns, Bill, and it doesn't mean every couple is like this, but sometimes we have fighters and sometimes we have flighters. And usually we have one of each. One person's a fighter and they have to learn how to fight more fair and be more interactive versus interrogative. And then the flighter has to stay engaged more versus withdrawing and shutting down.
Right.
And so we got to know we're still for each other. And we want to lead out well. So I talk about speak without offending, listen without defending as the first couple of volleys. So know that, you know, I'm not trying to make this sound easy, Bill, but, you know, just so we know in the scriptures, in the gospels, it is, there's arguments. There's tough conversations that Jesus had. So I really empathize with what that person's going through. And just trying to call that out together and say, golly, the last time we went down this road, we got into an argument. I want to lead out well. But we want to also not get defensive. What I want to try to do in the next fight I have with my wife, Bill, is I'm going to try to listen to understand versus yeah, and boom, gotcha, right? So I want to try to so how do we as a couple say, how do we mutually, we're getting into this, we know we're not near the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
We completely disagree about this issue.
Yeah.
But how do we make sure we don't have to win it or run from it?
Okay. Is this a good idea, Todd, when you're trying to safeguard your marriage, is to say to yourself, I'm never going to speak negatively about my spouse to other people. Is that a good way to safeguard? Or is that not – or is that – what do you think?
Yeah, I think in general it's good to – you know, I think it's good to be, you know, uplifting, you know, to each other, you know, about my spouse. So, yeah, it isn't good for me to break it down with my friend about what I think is wrong with my wife. I need to have that conversation with her. Okay. So I think also, though, I have seen if I am doing that and we are struggling and we're both for the idea, like she trusts a really close friend of mine that we are for, you know, that person's for our marriage and we're going to have a conversation. We're praying about what I can do different and he's holding me accountable. And in that conversation, I might say I'm frustrated by something. I got to make sure my first call is to my spouse. Okay. So I think you're right about safeguarding. It's good to be positive about who our spouse is with other people. That being said, I have seen a pattern, Bill, though, where sometime if somebody is actually codependent and is in a hurtful marriage, sometimes they'll glamorize their spouse to others when it really isn't true.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense? So
that makes a lot of sense.
So we want to, that's why I'm such, I know I'm sounding like I'm a broken record here about having honest conversations. I always say honesty today prevents problems tomorrow. It causes a problem today, but I'm supposed to be sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Love has to be honest. Not in the spirit of flaw finding, but in the spirit of sharing what I'm experiencing.
Yeah. We get stuck in ruts, don't we? And you get patterns and habits of how we communicate. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe a listener goes home tonight and says, all right, I want to have an honest conversation where, you know, I try to speak without being offensive and you try to listen without being defensive. And then all of a sudden the person gives them a big eye roll like, oh.
Here we go again.
Here we go again.
Yeah. And so we want to be able to say, yeah, I'm for you. I love you. I've just, the last couple of days have been hard for me. What have you been going through?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's most importantly to try to create rhythms that are buoys. So, you know, when we're having those daily conversations, generally, you know, it's, you know, we're talking about our own highs and lows emotionally. We're talking about what we're for with each other. But I'm also saying, hey, yesterday when I said that, honey, that's on me. You know, so again, are we coming towards each other, Bill, with our own stuff, or are we taking things out on each other?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to create a rhythm that keeps us out of the ruts by, you know, if I come to my wife and say, you know, yeah, I mean, here's the 13 things I've been thinking about you that bothered me the last year. Can we have an honest conversation? You know, not a, what?
Yeah, right.
You know, why didn't I, you know, 11 months ago on a Tuesday when I was struggling with something, I needed to share that then
mm-hmm.
so that I can at least let it out versus take it out.
Yeah. All right, Todd, this is jumping into your counseling office and the many, many, many couples that you counsel. Tell me the one thing women want the most that they're not getting.
They want to be pursued. They want to have the guy come towards them. They want him to initiate a conversation, initiate a date, initiate
time together. 38 years of marriage?
If it's the first day or the 50th year.
Really?
They want to be acknowledged and thought about. And most of the time, the reason that doesn't happen for the majority of guys where we're trying is we're too concerned about doing it right, or most of it is I'm just not thinking enough about her. I'm too defined by my identity is in Jesus, and because of that, my calling is my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the one thing I hear more and more and more from women. When they feel like the guy is coming towards them, of course, unless they're just in a really painful period where we got to do recovery work first.
Right.
But if we're in a, you know, things have kind of flatlined for a little bit, transactional marriage, we're struggling. Well, my best thing I can do if I'm a guy is just come towards her,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just say, I'm thinking about you, I'm for you, I love you, I'd love to see you this week, what works for you? And just be on the offense that way, because we get to.
Yeah. All right. What would be the one thing you hear from men?
I'm afraid of doing something wrong.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's why I think it gets back to a little bit of, I'm a guy, how am I pursuing and being on the offense? If I'm mm-hmm. a woman, how am I looking at who he is versus who he isn't? Which doesn't mean we don't talk about difficult things. The woman needs to be able to express the feeling she has about what she's struggling with. So does the guy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean, that's not a step back for the marriage. The other thing I want to make sure people understand is when you're having a difficult moment, that doesn't have to define your week.
Right.
Okay. But what happens with most people in their upbringing is talking about past stuff is they didn't have systems where they could have a delicate conversation and then kind of work through it and go out and play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So most people don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Todd, always been a fast hour. So appreciate your wisdom and insight. And we talked today about safeguarding your marriage. So if you just jumped in your car late and you missed it, you're going to want to head back to the website, myfaithradio.com. You can check out the whole hour. We talked and gave a lot of ways in which to safeguard. And I think you're going to want to review them or share them with your spouse tonight. That wraps up our show. You can go to toddmullican.com if you want to learn more about Todd. Otherwise, it's been a great afternoon being with you. Thank you for choosing the show and being here with me. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.